ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानान्त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्वन्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनं श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् आत्मस्वरूपबन्धुगण. वी हेव् टु लुक् एट् द नैन्थ् वर्स्. वि मे से कविं पुराणम् अनुशासितारम् अनोरणीयांसम् अनुस्मरेद्यः सर्वस्य धातारम् अचिन्त्यरूपम् आदित्यवर्णम् तमसः परस्तात्. सो इन् दि अर्लियर् वर्स् इट् वास् सेड् अनुचिन्तयन्. सो यू हेव् टु काण्ट् अनुचिन्तयन् भाष्यकार अनुध्यायन्. So you have to contemplate upon the vastu, atma vastu, which is Ishvara. You have to contemplate. Okay, how to contemplate? So the Ishvara that we have to contemplate upon, so how to contemplate upon that? So a little description of Ishvara will be useful for contemplation, you know. So because unless the method of contemplation is pointed out, so how are we going to contemplate? Therefore, so kim visishtam anudhyayet. So how one has to contemplate upon Ishvara? Kavim. Ishvara is sarvajna. Kavi means sarvajna. That is the meaning of kavi. So there is a mantra in Rigveda, pasya devasya kavyam. That is the mantra. So look at yo mamara najiriyati, like that it is there. So look around, you see the kavya. Kavya is poem of Ishvara. So what is the poem of Ishvara? Did you ever hear the sounds of nature? So you can hear the recitation of poem by the poet himself, and the poet is Ishvara. So he is reciting the poem all the time. Only thing is, we are accustomed to hearing all kinds of artificial sounds. So the refrigerator starting humming and stopping, and the air conditioner coming to life and again stopping, and then the traffic sounds, and the sounds that people make all the time, talking and talking and talking. So all such artificial sounds only we are listening. So what happens is people construct cities and palaces and buildings and isolate themselves from the nature and live a plastic life. In the process, they miss the chance to look at the poem of the poet called Ishvara. In fact, in India, there is a building. In India, these buildings are all constructed close. Their place is small, less, you know. So we construct vertically. No more horizontal construction. All vertical construction only. In Bombay there is a building. And that building has got some 70 floors or 60 floors, whatever. And each floor has some 4 or 5 families. And each family, I mean 4 or 5 apartments. And each apartment will be having some 10 people on average. Not like here. Here you are 2 people, the mother is going to give birth to the third child, a third person, so they have to apply to the county president to give permission for the third person to live in the house. Right? Not in India. India. So if there is an apartment, 3 people can live, 5 people can live, 10 people can live, 20 people can live also. It is all according to their own adjustment. There is no question, nothing. The county has nothing to do with it. What the county has got to do with our house and we live. So like that, many people live in that apartment. I have seen it. What I am seen, I am telling you. There it is written. Do you want to see the sky? Please proceed this way. A direction. You don't see sky. You can't see the sky. If you want to see sky, go there. And then on the fourth floor, in one corner, there is one angle through which you can see the sky. So, like that. So we live in a very artificial environment and miss the poetry called nature. Pashya devasya kavyam. So the poet is in the poem. That is another interesting thing. The poet is in the poem. So the melodious sounds made by the brook, the rivulets as they flow down the mountain slopes, and the chirping sounds of the birds as they happily sit on various branches of the trees and they sing their songs in those songs, and then as the dry leaves are falling down in that peculiar noise that they make, so only a sensitive ear can pick up that noise. So in those small sounds as the dry leaves fall down, and as the creatures move around on the surface of the earth, as they move around, they make some crackling noises as they jump over dry leaves and all that, those sounds. And if it is raining, the beautiful noise made by the raindrops as they fall on the earth, those sounds. Did you pay attention to all these sounds? These are the sounds which are the poems being sung by the poet called Ishvara. So, Pashya Devasya Kavyam. In the sounds you can hear the poems of Ishvara. And then in the scenes painted by Ishvara, the painter himself is there in the painting. And so that is the how the poem is. So it is a drushya kavyam, means a poem that you can see being enacted before you. And the actor is in the acting. And then it is a shravya kavyam, a poem in the form of various sounds of nature. Early morning, if you wake up and come out, you hear certain sounds of nature. So like that, when the sun is about to set, the entire nature has its own set of sounds. Once again, very marvelous sounds. In all those sounds, you have the poet called Ishvara singing his poems. And in all these scenes, you have the painter called Ishvara painting his paintings. So this is the kavi, and you have to contemplate on that kavi. Okay? Kavim. Another meaning for kavi is sarvajnaha, one who knows everything. You see, you contemplate upon the intelligence that pervades the entire universe. Just look at the intelligence. So we are not talking of the intellect. We are talking of the intelligence. There is a difference between the intellect and intelligence. Intelligence is all pervasive. It holds the entire universe in itself. Intelligence, jnanam. Whereas intellect is the human intellect, very limited. So this intelligence of Ishvara, it is there in every particle of this creation. People think that there are objects which are alive, which are inanimate, and then there are people and animals which are alive. Like that they divide. Living, non-living. But from the Ishvara's point of view, there is nothing called non-living. The Jada is insentient, is a superimposition on the sentient being. So for example, you see in the movie screen, you see a mountain and take it as a Jada, insentient. You see an animal and take it as sentient. But really speaking, what is animal, what is living and what is non-living on the movie screen, both are superimpositions on one light only. In that light, the divisions living, non-living do not exist. Similarly, the entire universe is an intelligent universe. There is a book called Intelligent Universe, written by a great astronomer, I think Fred Hoyle or somebody has written. So he looks at the universe as an intelligent universe. For him, the intelligence of Ishvara is visible. It is clearly seen in every particle of the universe. There is nothing like jada or insentient in this universe. Suppose you take a particle, an electron. Is it intelligent or unintelligent? Is it jada? Is it intelligent or insentient? I tell you how. This electron has a pair. It always pairs up. Always pairs up. This pairing seems to be the not only among humans, the male pairs with the female, but among, not only among humans and animals, etc., but it seems to be there in the particle level also. The particles always pair up. And one electron pairs up with another electron. Positive spin and negative spin. Let us say like this something. I don't remember exactly the details. So, if you shift the spin of one of those electrons, it is spinning like this. You shift it. Shift it means give some energy to it. It will start spinning like this. Does it look the same way? My hand, does it look like the same way? It is reverse now. As it spins the other way, its paired electron is there. It somehow gets a cue. My God, my partner is spinning the other way. Therefore, it will start spinning the other way. Now, this electron, how much time it takes to change its spin? This is a law. It is called Bohm's law. A scientist called Bohm has done a lot of work on this. When you this electron is here. Its pair electron is at 100 yards distance. Suppose they are all dispersed, you know. Suppose it is at 100 yards. Okay, not 100 yards. At some distance it is there. Some distance is there, really. Now when this changed, this originally spinning like this, now suddenly started spinning the other way, that electron gets the cue and immediately it changes its spin. And how much time it takes? Here the electron has changed the spin, right? And that information should reach there and then it should change. The information has to travel from this electron to that electron. And there is a law that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. Therefore, the shift cannot happen instantaneously. The shift, if it happens instantaneously, that means the information has reached there instantaneously. It should not happen because that goes against the law of Einstein that nothing can travel faster than light. There must be some time lapse between the two. But they discovered that there is no time lapse. And so here is a case of violation of Einstein's law. The law is violated. So as this electron changes its spin, the other pair changes the spin instantaneously. What does it mean? It only means that the law of Einstein that nothing can travel faster than the light has already been violated, that is one. Then second, what does it mean? Okay, law is violated, all right. What does it mean? It only means that both these electrons are not two separate electrons. They are held in one intelligence. Because if they are two separate electrons, there is a transfer of information from one point to the other and which needs time, which takes time. That becomes a process in time. But now this is no more a process in time. As this electron shifts its spin, the other electron shifts its spin instantaneously. Therefore, it is no more a process in spin, process in time. It is one system, no more two separate electrons. It is one system. What is that one system which contains both these electrons in itself? That one system is called intelligence. And that intelligence holds this entire universe in itself. Therefore, this entire universe is not a collection of, a motley collection of objects. It is not. Independent objects, it is not. It is not a dead universe as Descartes has postulated. It is not Newtonian universe consisting of independent objects. It is not that. Then what is it? It is one intelligent organic whole. And who is the author of this intelligent organic whole? Kavi, author. Kavi is the author. Who is that? Ishvara. Where is that Ishvara? He is in his poem. He is in his creation. He is the actor found in his acting. He is the dancer, Nataraja, found in his dance, called the universe, Kavim. That is how one has to contemplate. Bhakti, devotion. So much devotion. It is not blind faith. It is a devotion based on perfect understanding, a vision. A visionary's devotion. Kavim. Puranam. This Ishvara, who is the poet of this universe, Pashya Devasya Kavyam. So, this Kavi, Sarvajna, is Purana. Purana means Subhashyakara Chirantanam. So, he is around for a long time. He is around for a long time. Right? Suppose you come across a person who is 110 years old, then it becomes the prime time news of CNN. So they get photographed and take an interview and all that. How is it that you could live 112 years, 110 years old? What is it that you take for breakfast? So he tells, I take some sprouts for my breakfast. So that becomes a big news now. So we all should take, because he lives so like that. Because the guy is around for a long time. So that is the meaning of Chirantanam. So this Ishvara is a Purana, means a Chirantana. He is around for a long time. How much time? Yeah, as long as time existed. That is all. That means he is the timeless reality in which time came into existence. And into whom the time will resolve at the end of this creation, at the end of the cycle of creation. Kavim Puranam. Anushasitaram. So, Anushasitaram means he is the one who commands this universe. What is meant by commands this universe? Bheshasma dvatav pavate. Look at the wind. It is blowing. It is blowing and blowing and blowing, never stopping. Giving life-sustaining oxygen to all life forms and giving a life-sustaining carbon. If you say life-sustaining oxygen, the plants will protest. Come on, don't talk like that. What about us? So for them, the life-sustaining wind, air is carbon dioxide, not oxygen. If you put too much oxygen, they will not be able to survive. They need carbon dioxide. They release oxygen. What a system it is. So it is like we look at the universe divided into pieces. There is nothing like dividing into pieces. The entire fauna inhales. In one huge gulp, it inhales. What is it that inhaled? The wind that is exhaled by the entire flora. It is like the entire flora exhales in one huge gulp, and then the entire fauna inhales. Fauna is all right? Am I using the right word? Okay, entire fauna inhales in one huge gulp. And so it is going on. That exhales and this inhales. This exhales and that inhales. What a thing it is. Organic whole. And who has put this it in place? Kavi? And okay, he has put it in his place. Who is managing it? You start a company and your brother-in-law will manage it. Sometimes it happens like that, you know. So, who is managing it, commanding it? Prashasitaram. Bhagavan has no brother-in-laws, etc. He has to manage what he created. He is doing it all right. Because he commands. The Shruti says, Bhisha. Bhisha means as though afraid. There the point is not fear. Shruti is not talking of fear, really speaking. There the point is, suppose here is a person working very hard just because he is afraid of his boss, suppose. The boss comes, by the time evening the boss comes, all the things should be in place. So he is working furiously because that feeling it pushes him. As though the wind is commanded by a higher power like that. There is a peculiar or a mysterious universal power which makes everything happen in this creation. everything. Anushasitaram. So as the wind is blowing, it is the will of that higher power, Atindriya Shakti, the power that cannot be perceived and that cannot be conceived. That is the power. Because of that power, the wind is doing what it is. And so Bheshodeti Suryaha, the sun never misses his appointment, never misses. So he is always there, never missing, he is always there. Is it there is a higher power which is prodding him to keep his appointment all the time? Yeah. And that higher power, the cosmic power, is Ishvara. Bhishasmadagnishchendrascha Indra, the Lord of Rains, always comes. We see this, the mystery of monsoon. That is a topic for National Geographic. It's a topic, it's a big episode for Geographic. The mystery of monsoon. They come to India. All the National Geographic people are in Kerala. So, with their cameras and videos, this and that, research teams. So, they are, May last week, May 25th, the Trivandrum airport is filled with all these guys, with all their big, big bags containing instruments, this and that. They are all there, because they know, May 26th, the monsoon will never miss, it will come. Indra, the Lord of Rains. It will come and hit the Kerala coast. In Andhra, we are waiting. June 1st, we are waiting. It will come. Not only humans are waiting. The animals know. They know. Now it is the time for monsoon. It is life-sustaining phenomenon of the nature. Monsoon sustains life. Monsoon hit Kerala at the appointed time. The Bombay stock market goes up. Monsoon delayed by one day. We don't know when it will come. Like this, our meteorological people, they too try to understand a few things here and there. And they say, well, generally they don't. So the news reader, she is reading the news. She doesn't say anything about rain. She just doesn't mention anything about rain. She says yesterday evening temperature was 27 degrees and midnight temperature is 24 degrees. She says that. Yesterday midnight and evening temperature, who wants? You tell what will be today evening temperature. If you have got it, tell it. Otherwise, keep quiet. Yesterday evening temperature, we don't care for it, but that is what the lady is telling. Yesterday evening temperature, she is telling. She doesn't say anything about rain. If only she looks out of the window, she can tell. There will be very good rain. Like that she can tell, because it is raining. Anyway, so the meteorological people, 4 days before, they say, this year the monsoon is likely to make some delay. It is delayed between Cape of Good Hope and Cape Cameron, that Kanyakumari. Between them somewhere it is cut, and so it is delayed. The Bombay stock market crashes. But it never misses. Indraha. What is this Indra? There is a higher power which is commanding the rain god. Agni, fire. Wherever there is fire, it makes you warm. Never misses. And Murtyu. Murtyur dhavati panchama iti. You have said about four things, there is a fifth guy. Very dangerous. Murtyuhu. So he is running here and there. He is now in Johannesburg, putting a given person's life to end. And immediately he is in Calgary, putting the life of another person to end. He is running all over the place at a terrific speed. If there is another phenomenon which violates Einstein's law, that is our Mrityu. He is a dhavati. He is running faster than the speed of light because he has to cover many, many areas very fast. So, Mrityur Dhavati, he is just devouring. Death is a great devourer, continues to devour everything. Mrityu has devoured Rama, Krishna, Christ, all Mahatmas he devoured. Nobody is left. So, that Mrityu Dhavati, so bringing death to all life forms, running all over the place. And he cannot It is as though the higher power prods him to do that. This is how anushasitaram. There is an order, there is an intelligence, there is a command. A cosmic power command center, a cosmic command center is there. That command center, it is running this whole show called the universe. You have to look at it like that, anushasitaram. This is the open eye meditation, contemplation. Like that you have to contemplate. Anoraniyamsam. It is subtler than the subtlest. What are the, this subtle analysis, you do a little subtle and gross analysis. The entire universe is now reduced to 5 elements. So, prithvi, ap, tejaha, vayu, akasha. The Vedantic model of the universe. So start with prithvi. Prithvi is what you smell. That is prithvi. Means you perceive it with the nose. That is prithvi. And so prithvi is the grossest. It is the solid state. And it has 5 gunas. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. All the 5 are there in it. Therefore it is the gross. Now come to apaha. It is the liquid state. More subtle. Now subtler than the solid state. It has only 4 gunas. It doesn't have gandha. Then come to agni. Heat. Agni is heat. Thermal content. So, that has only 3 gunas. Now it has no taste. Only 3 gunas. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. In that rasa and gandha drop. Shabda, sparsha, rupa are there for agni. Then more subtle than agni is vayu. Only 2 gunas. Shabda, sparsha. Guna sankhya, guna means quality, so asadharana dharma, its own unique property. So this guna, the properties, so these properties, they define the gross and the subtle nature. The more the properties, the more gross it is. Less the properties, the subtle it is. That is what subtle is, you know. So when you come to vayu, only 2, wind, shabda and sparsha, very subtle. Come to akasha, only 1, shabda. Shabda is vibration. Vibration means akasha. Without akasha there will be no vibration. Therefore, shabda. Shabda gunakam akasham. Akasha is also very subtle compared with the other 4. It is very subtle. But it is still gross enough to have 1 quality called shabda. Shabda gunakam akasham. Then what is more subtle than akasha? If you look at the Sankhya's vision, they say space is very subtle, but time is a little more subtle than space, they say. You cannot separate this space and time, they are together. But okay, together okay, together okay. But you are talking of space and time, or space hyphen time, you are talking of 2 things. They are inseparable, true, but among the 2, which could be a little more subtler? So Sankhyas say it is the time which is more subtle, because it is the time which brings out space. When the time for creation is happened, when the time, everything is time. So when the time happens, the explosion, Big Bang happens, assuming, taking that model. Sankhya's model is Big Bang model. That kind of a model it is. That's why I'm saying that. Therefore the Big Bang happens at the right time. Time is now ripe for the Big Bang. The fruit falls. When will it fall? When the time is ripe, it falls. So similarly, time. And when the Big Bang happens, there is a space. So time and space. Therefore, time is even more subtle than space. Okay? But then, there is one thing even more subtle than the time. Subtler than the subtlest, that is the awareness, the chaitanya, the knowingness, because there is time only when there is the knowingness of time. When there is the consciousness of time, time has to shine in the universal consciousness, then only there is time, otherwise there is no time. So, even for us, only when you are aware of time, there is time. Otherwise, there is no time. So, time. For example, the child in the cradle, it looks at the clock, but there is no time for the child. Because clock is not the time, you know. Time is what you are aware of. That is time. That is what you are aware of time, and that is time. And so the awareness of a awareful being is the substratum in which time appears and disappears. So that awareness absolute, that is the subtlest of all subtle things. Anoraniyamsam. And so you have to contemplate upon that Ishvara, anusmaret. You have to contemplate. What else is that Ishvara? Sarvasya dhataram. Having seen the extreme of subtleness, let us come down to the nitty-gritty level of the gross world and the lives of people and animals and other life forms, etc. So all these life forms are there. Why so much variety? Because each life form has a history. Nothing begins. It is a cycle. It is beginningless and endless. Cycle. This linear thinking we have to get rid of. The linear thinking is wrong. So past, present, future, there is no such thing. In nature, nothing begins and nothing ends. We are always looking for the beginning. Where did it begin? Causes and effects, all the time. In fact, one Mahatma used to say, as long as this cause-effect buddhi is there, that means you are always looking for causes and effects. Cause-effect. You will not know the truth. Like that he used to say. Anyway, that is a different context. So coming back to the point, so every soul or every life form, it is a cyclic. Birth, death. Birth, death. Cyclic it is. It is not linear. Birth, death. Birth, death. Where will you go? That is not how it is. It is like tennis ball. Tennis ball has no beginning, has no end. Like that. That is the everything in this universe is cyclic. Everything. Everything is cyclic. Morning, evening. Morning, evening. Birth, death, birth, death. Pleasure, pain, pleasure, pain. When pleasure is going on, pain is waiting. Evening pleasure, morning pain. So like that. So the pleasure and pain is cyclic. There is no beginning. Today being pleasure, tomorrow pain. Not like that. It is all cyclic. Moon, you look at moon, cyclic. Planets, cyclic. Everything cyclic. Only the human mind is thinking linear. Nothing else is linear. Everything is cyclic. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. This is the linear. Only human mind. No surprise, we are in suffering. Because it is the time which binds. We are in the bondage of time. So, if you forget about this linear thinking and just understand that it is everything is cyclic and make your thinking also cyclic, then you will devour time and there is no time for you anymore. Anyway, so all the living beings, they are in a cyclic process. So today animal. So that means earlier there was some papa karma, so the cycle is going on. And so, undesirable action. This animal is suffering. Animal life is life of suffering. All the undesirable, the papa is exhausted. So tomorrow it will be a human. Like that the cycle is going on. So what is that power which maintains this cycle of the karma phalas, the destinies, if I may say so, of all the living beings? There is one higher power which commands this most complex web of cause and effect relationships of each individual soul. What is that power? Just you imagine. Suppose there is a thing called a Google web. Let us say Google. This Google, it is retrieving information and supplying to information to seekers who seek that information, retrieving and supplying. And even while retrieving and supplying, it is collecting and putting it there. Collecting and putting, retrieving and supplying, right? That is what Google does. Okay. If this Google is sitting somewhere and it is doing it, and at one time it is collecting information from 10 million computers and supplying information to 10 million other computers, maybe, let us say. So what a complex web it is. It doesn't make any mistake. So if you ask information about gold, it will not give information about copper by mistake. It will give information about gold only. If you type gold, only gold related things will come. So 17,60,000 entries will come of gold only. Only gold, nothing more. So this is a huge command center. Similarly, so many life forms are there. So animals, humans, and then plants. Plants are also souls. Even the fungi, the coral reefs, everything is soul. Everything is a life form. And all this complex web of life is commanded, and every soul enjoys its own good and bad actions. That command center, universal command center, Ishvara, sarvasya dhataram. Now, achintya rupam. Now you have to contemplate upon Ishvara. How can you contemplate upon this kind of Ishvara? Because the way we have described, it crosses all the boundaries of perception and conception. It is not within the boundaries of, you see, subtler than the subtlest. Okay, subtle. You can conceive, prithivi, apaha, more, like that. You can conceive space, you can conceive time. You have reached the subtlest. Now, the Atma or the Parabrahman is subtler than that. Now, how are you going to conceive? So, therefore, achintya rupam. So, it is not something that you can conceive. It is the unknown, achintya rupam. What is known and what is unknown? What you know with your mind, or what you have a possibility of knowing with the mind, right? Potentially, you can know it. That is what is called the known, and the Ishvara is always the unknown. It can never be created by the mind, cannot be formulated by the mind. Achintya rupam. You see, suppose the unknown Ishvara, the unknown reality, now, you cannot think about it. Because, you think about the unknown. The moment you think about it is already known. Where is the unknown? I tell you, the moment you think about God, that God is like you and me. No more. Because, like you and me, maybe somewhat higher within that only. That's all. That's why, in knowing the truth, you deny the truth. Achintya rupam. So, I tell you, what you know, the mind. Know is mind only, na? Know is mind only. What you know with the mind is not reality. It is not reality. Because I tell you the logic of it. Suppose, I know the flower. How the mind knows, you know, how the mind knows? There is a mechanism of mind knowing. The mechanism is, the mind becomes the thing that it knows. You got it? That is how it knows. So, the mind becomes the flower. Pushpakara vritti. Mind can modify itself in any form. So, it modifies into the form of flower, and thus it knows flower. It modifies itself into the form of pot, and thus knows the pot. So now it knows God. Therefore, it modifies itself into the form of God, and thus knows God. So that God, which is known to the mind, has a form, and therefore, that is not God. Over. So, achintya rupam. That is one logic. Let us come in another way. Thought is there. Mind has to know through thought only, after all. So, each pulse of knowledge is a thought only. So, thought. So, now, what is a thought? Now, I ask you a question. This I asked you many times and you answered many a time. But kya karein? So, this class comes again once every 2 weeks it comes. So, the question is asked and the answer is said. some repetition is inevitable. So I ask you a question. Now, thought is there. This thought, what it contains, is it the present or is it the past? It is the past. Because thought can never be fresh. No way. Thought is always of the past only. Because, you see, what happens is, when you see the flower, you don't see the flower. You just get some sensations of optical nature. That is what happens. And you see your sensations. That is what you see. You don't see anything which is outside. Outside the body, how are you going to see? So, the flower, the so-called flower, it throws some light back at your eyes, and the light falls on the eyes. If you keep the eyelids open, it falls. And therefore, some optical sensations, the rods and cones, they say, rods and cones. I'm afraid to feel that way because I don't want rods and cones in my eyes. But anyway, that is what they say. So these rods and cones are there. So they create some optical sensations and you perceive those sensations. You think that you are seeing the flower. I'm sorry to say this. You are not seeing the flower. You are seeing your own sensations. What is this perceiving sensations? What does it mean? Perceiving sensations means all these sensations, they are a huge bunch of sensations. There must be a million sensations involved in seeing a flower. So all those million sensations are integrated. Integrated. There is a process of integration going on. Fourier transformation or whatever you call it, some integration is taking place. And this integration, after integration there will be a result. Always after integration there will be a result. Like CAT scan. CAT scan or this scan. The thing, it photographs a million times. Or a million cross sections it photographs. It photographs, suppose, brain. The brain is cut in a theoretical way. So the brain is cut into a million sections. And all those million sections are photographed. And all the photographs are integrated together. And you get a small film. Similar thing happens inside the mind. All these sensations are integrated to throw up an idea. That idea is coming from the memory. There is the memory of the flower. And that memory is taken out. And it comes out. So when you say thought of flower, that flower has its origin in the memory of flower. That's why you see only what you know. You do not see what you do not know. Therefore, the thought has originated in memory, which means it has originated in the past. That is what it is. So now we can give the definition of a thought. Thought is defined as the response of the memory to a stimulus. You can define thought like that. So thought being a response of the memory, it is indeed encapsulated in time. And so whatever is in time is not God. God is timeless. Therefore, achintya rupam. So then how to contemplate upon that kind of God? How? You see, suppose I contemplate, God is inconceivable. Now, is it, that is not inconceivable anymore? It is an idea only, right? Suppose I ask you, be silent within. In the mind, be silent. And I say that. And now you sit and start thinking, oh, silent. Silent means S-I-L-E-N-T. So it's an English word. So isko Hindi mein bolte hai nishabd. So like that you think, is that silence? No. The idea of silence is not silence. The idea of silence is still idea only. It is movement only. And it is disturbance only. That is not silence. So similarly, God is inconceivable. That is not inconceivable. That is very much thought only. Therefore, Shravana Manana Nidhyasana. Now you understand Shravana, inconceivable. Manana, we have described what it is. Inconceivable means achintya. Achintya. అవ్యక్తోయం అచింత్యోయం గీత, దిస్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో గీత. సో అచింత్య, సో యూ షుడ్ నాట్ కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ ది ఐడియా ఆఫ్ అచింత్య, దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది థింగ్ టు డూ. సో వాట్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు డూ ఈజ్ ది ఫస్ట్ ది అచింత్య రూప టు కాంటెంప్లేట్ అపాన్ దాట్ ది మైండ్ మస్ట్ బి కామ్. ది ఫస్ట్ కండిషన్, మైండ్ మస్ట్ బి కామ్. వీఆర్ ఇన్ ధ్యాన కాంటెక్స్ట్, ఆల్ దిస్ ఈస్ ధ్యాన. సో ఎర్లియర్ వెర్స్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో ధ్యాన, ది నెక్స్ట్ వెర్స్ దిస్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో ధ్యాన. అనుస్మరేత్ యునో, సో అనుస్మరేత్ ఈజ్ ధ్యానం, అనుస్మరేత్. ఎనీవే అనుచింతయేత్, అనుధ్యాయే, అనుధ్యాయన్ అబౌవ్ అనుచింతయేత్, డజంట్ మ్యాటర్. సో యూ హ్యావ్ టు కాంటెంప్లేట్. సో కాంటెంప్లేట్ ఆన్ ది ఇన్కన్సీవబుల్. ది ప్రైమరీ కండిషన్ యాజ్ ఐ ఆల్రెడీ మెన్షన్డ్ ఈజ్ ద మైండ్ మస్ట్ బి కామ్. వెన్ ది మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఎజిటేటెడ్ యూ కెనాట్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ కాంటెంప్లేషన్ ఆర్ ఎనీ సచ్ థింగ్. యూ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ కామ్ మైండ్. యు సీ ది తామసిక్ మైండ్ కెనాట్ కాంటెంప్లేట్, ఇట్ విల్ గో ఇన్ టు స్లీప్. నాట్ ఫుల్ ఫ్లెడ్జ్డ్ స్లీప్ బట్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ హాఫ్ స్లీప్ ఇట్ విల్ గో. సో సపోజ్ మెడిటేషన్, సపోజ్ ఐ ఆస్క్ యూ సిట్ అండ్ క్లోజ్ ది ఐస్. సో నౌ యూ క్లోజ్ ది ఐస్, యు ఆర్ టైర్డ్ అండ్ ఆల్ దట్, ఆల్రెడీ వన్ అవర్ బ్యాక్ దిస్ అండ్ ఆల్ దట్, సో యూ ఆర్ మోర్ టైర్డ్ దాన్ నార్మల్. సో ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ హ్యావింగ్ ఎ బ్రేక్ఫాస్ట్ లంచ్ అట్ ఎన్ అపాయింటెడ్ టైమ్, యూ విల్ హ్యావ్ ఇట్ వన్ అవర్ లేట్. దట్ మీన్స్ యూ ఆర్ మోర్ టైర్డ్. సో వెన్ ఐ సే క్లోజ్ ది ఐస్, యూ డ్రిఫ్ట్ ఇన్ టు ఎ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ సెమై కాన్షియస్ స్టేట్, పార్ట్లీ స్లీప్ అండ్ పార్ట్లీ waking, that kind of a thing. You may not go into regular sleep, but partly sleep. That is called tamas. So, in that state of the mind, that can happen to anybody. So, that state of the mind is not conducive for contemplation. Because for contemplation, you need to have total attention, undivided attention. So, some of the attention is gone into sleep, that doesn't work. So, no tamas. Then rajas. Mind is feverishly active. Generally, that is how we are. Our minds are feverishly active. You see, a person is active all through the day, means his mind is active. Don't think only hands and legs or limbs are active. It is the mind which is active. So, mind being active, is it good or bad? Who knows what is good or bad? It all depends. What is it you want? That it depends upon that. No, we want a lot of samsara, then being active is very good. No, we don't want samsara, then you have to think of that activity. That activity may be a problem. In any case, samsara or no samsara, activity of the mind beyond a point almost amounts to a disease. Hyperactivity of the mind is a disease. Because you engage in non-stop thinking, either incoherent, daydream-like thinking, or compulsive thinking, which is very painful. So, this kind of thinking, non-stop, it goes on. It is there in our lives. So, we have to examine it. That is a very important thing. Atma and Brahma is never the problem. Atma is Brahma and it is sitting there. You need not do anything about it. So, this hyperactive mind, it acts like a cover. It covers up the truth. So, with a hyperactive mind, so the mind which is like high tension wire, that kind of mind, it is not conducive for any contemplation. You see what happens, you know, suppose you sit without any movement. Suppose you sit. No movement. Sthira sukham asanam. Sthira. Motionless. You sit. You know what happens? You feel like scratching here. That is mind, I tell you. Not the skin. That is mind. Because mind doesn't like the sthira. It is a chala. It loves to be chala. Chinchalam hi manav partha. So pramathi balavadrudham. So that is what mind is. It doesn't like sthira. Therefore, it starts at very innocuous looking things, like you have to scratch. One person told me, Swamiji, if I should not scratch in meditation, I said, no, you should not. So what should I do? You should not do anything. What should I do? What kind of a question it is? Meditation is not a thing to do. You don't do anything in meditation. You stop doing everything. That is what meditation is. Even at the level of the mind, stop doing everything. Scratch. Don't bother about scratch. You need not scratch. Then I gave an example for that. How can you avoid scratching? That is the question. How can we stop scratching? It is a free country and a democratic country. So first world rights and also all those things are there. And you come and tell, don't scratch. Okay, I will tell you an example. Once I was traveling in a city bus. In India, city bus. So I entered into it. You see, I thought of entering into it. I had an idea that I wanted to enter. So, but then I went near the gate. I was wondering how can I enter, but then I entered. So from behind they just pushed me inside, and so I did not have any chance to think now, so I am already inside. And the conductor said, right, the bus started. It is going on. I was holding like this. Now I have to scratch. Desperate need to scratch. I was holding. So I have to scratch. Really I have to scratch. So then I started watching it. Oh, okay. Watching it. After 15 minutes the bus stopped and I got down and then I scratched. Then there was no need to scratch. Over. Then I examined this sensation called scratching. What is it? So it draws your attention. It wants you to act. You cannot ignore it. It is just you cannot ignore it. Very powerful sensation it is. But then it started wearing off. You cannot scratch, you know. Both hands are engaged. Otherwise you cannot move the hand. So you are not an individual. You are a part of a huge human mass. That is what you are. So no scratching. Where is the scratching? Suppose you tell somebody, dear brother, I want to scratch. You know what will he do? He will abuse you because that is the only instrument available for operation. He will abuse you in all kinds of words, I tell you. Arey, dekho bhai, here is somebody, he wants to, like that. Then I watched the sensation. It is a meditation, you know. Just meditate, watch it. It is a very persisting sensation, it demands, but when the demand is not met, it wears off. And within 3-4 minutes, gone. Really? We have to explore. That is Adhyatma Yoga it is. Adhyatma Yoga Adhikamena Devam Matvadhiro Harsha Shokau Jahati. Adhyatma Yoga, Kathopanishad. Yoga is an effort to discover the infinite in the finite. That is what yoga is. And so you have to discover Ishvara here. In the finite Adhyatma you have to discover the infinite. That is Adhyatma Yoga. So explore. Experiment and explore upon yourself. Upon the body, upon the prana, inhalation, exhalation, and upon the mind. And then there is the reality, infinite, which transcends the body, mind, and Atma, that is just sitting there, avyaktoyam achintyoyam, that is Atma. Therefore, you need to have a calm mind, too active mind. If it is moderately active, you can control it and make it calm and quiet. And then we can think of what is called achintya rupam. I mean, think of means not that you are going to think of it, that comes into being. So, the primary condition is mind should not be rajasic. And when mind is calm, then what happens, you know? The reality, indescribable, achintya rupa, you know, indescribable, it comes into being. You cannot invite it. Suppose I sit calm. Now, I invite God. Okay, I invite God means I seek God. Okay, so who is it that is seeking? Mind is seeking God. Now, you tell me whether the mind seeks the known or the unknown. Known only it seeks, you know. It cannot seek the... How can it seek the unknown? the moment it can seek only the known. Therefore, so now I seek the God. Okay, you may not get the God, you get disappointed, or you may get the God which is not God, again disappointed. Therefore, stop seeking, because seeking brings in the otherness. You are the seeker and God is the sought, the otherness. So stop seeking. So even to stop the spiritual seeking, because seeking implies a struggle. Suppose you sit like this. Now I have to contemplate upon God. So the world thoughts come. They should not come. They all should go away. Nothing should come. Only God. Now is it not a struggle? That is a struggle. So seeking leads to struggle. And in struggle you won't find God. That is not how to find God. Therefore, don't seek. Who are you to seek? You just disappear from the scene. The seeker. Ego. Seeker is the ego. It wants to seek God. Disappear from the scene. Just drop away and just be. Then the reality comes into being. So, just whenever you are quiet, totally silence, total silence, the reality reveals itself. It comes into being. That is achintya rupam. That way you have to do contemplation. Achintya rupam anudhyayet. Okay, so that reality which I contemplate upon, what is it? Achintya rupam aditya varnam. It shines. It shines more brilliantly than the sun. The sun's brilliance and the eye, they are separated by a few layers. The eyesight, the mind, the intellect, the ego, these are all layers between Atma and the sun, in a way. Whereas the Atma, it shines more brilliantly than the sun. Because even when you see the sun, even when the sun is shining, there is the otherness. Sun is the other, at a distance, separated in time, separated in space. Whereas, the mind becomes silent, and the being reveals itself, being shining as the knowing. Now, this being shining as the knowing, this is not some imagination. This is not some utopian thing. This is more real than anything of this creation. This is not some nebulous, uncertain thing. It is more solid than more solid than even a diamond. Diamond is butter-like before this solid rock-like being which shines as the knowing. That is what it is. Aditya Varnam. So there, the sun's shining is a puny. The sun's shining is a drishya, jada. Whereas this shining is a swayam prakasha. The entire universe shines in this shining, including the sun, galaxies, etc. When you look at the galaxies through a telescope, those galaxies are shining. Where are they shining? They are shining in the being, shining as the knowing. In this, the galaxies are shining. Everything is shining in this. That is the being shining as the knowing. That is the Atma, Aditya Varnam. So Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varnam Tamasap Parastat. This Aditya Varna, Aditya Varna means Aditya Iva Varnaha Esya Saha. The shining superior to, like Aditya, just some poetic description, but superior to Aditya. Tamasap Parastat. You see, at the level of the mind, or at the level of the eyesight, there is darkness and there is light. Right? So, The eyes can see only when light, outer light is there. When the outer light is not there, in darkness eyes cannot see, right? But there is another sense organ which can see in darkness also. You know what is that sense organ? Hearing. So, kin jyotistava bhanuman, like that ekashloki is there. So, ahani, ratrau pradipadikam. So, when there is no light at all, two people are sitting in a room, the power is gone. And it is a very dark room, power is gone. Then the person says, generally they say, hey, don't get up and move around here. You will bump into something and you will bump into me. Sit where you are. Till I put the light on, I know where is the candle and thing, I know, I will find my way. You don't come and bump in my way. Like that she gives an instruction to him, otherwise he will be jumping around in this sense. So there is a light. The light is here. He knows that she is there because of the hearing. Therefore, the darkness and the light at the level of the eyesight, both have no meaning for the ear. Suppose he is deaf and he cannot see and he is deaf, but his mind can see. And then, how mind is seeing? It is like Ayodhati, a ball of fire, a ball is there, iron ball, put in fire and taken out. Put a piece of cloth to that iron ball, it is burnt to ashes. Now he says, Ayodhati, the iron ball burns the piece of cloth to ashes. Come on, iron ball doesn't burn, it is the fire that burns. So it is not the mind which sees, it is the awareness, absolute, the Atma which reflects in the mind, that makes the mind see. And so that Atma, at the level of the mind, you have knowledge and ignorance, both are there. But Atma, which transcends the mind, it has no such divisions. Tamasah parastat. It transcends ignorance and it transcends knowledge also. But why you say tamas? Because all knowledge at the level of the mind is in the science. Tamas. Avidya. What all mind knows, is we have a beautiful name for it. What all mind knows is avidya, translated as nescience. All positive understanding is nescience. So now, Atma is tamasav parastad. Now, you know so much about stock market. Is it jnanam or ajnanam, you tell me? So tamasav parastad. Now you know what is tamasav parastad. Like that. So we know so many things. True, at the level of the mind there is knowledge and there is ignorance. But when it comes to the Atma, both are ignorance only. So tamasav parastad. So forget about the intellect and what all it knows and doesn't know. Forget about all that. It has no relevance at all anymore. So just abide in the silence of the being. Just be. Chup, just be. That is the sadhana. Achintya rupam aditya varnam tamasav parastat. Om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.